What's up, guys? This is Black Hollywood Live, and we are here with special guest Sharonis J. Jackson. Tune in. Clearly not a friend. What's up, y'all? We have Dro, also known as Sharonis J. Jackson, in the building. My name is Mario Turner. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mario_Turner. Sharonis, what's up? Where can we find you?
Twitter and Instagram is at Ronej, R-O-N-E-J-A-E, and that's on Twitter and Instagram, Ronej.
All right, and I'm Ashley Allen, and you can find me on all social media at Ashley Reed Allen.
And what's up, guys? I'm Christine Alexis, so you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Christine Bean with threes.
Okay, y'all, so this episode, I mean,
it got crazy.
That ending was real special for you. We are going to get into all of that. But we're going to start with Issa and Daniel, because that is how the episode opened up.
Absolutely, yeah.
And when we left them, they were at the table, right? Mm-hmm. Enjoying a meal, kind of rekindling, maybe.
Being real friendly.
Real friendly.
Yes.
And we open up to Issa at the door, mm-hmm. doing like a kind of, course, like her character, like an awkward,
crazy.
I love him so much. Yes. Oh, my God.
Right? And we see that they're kind of started getting it in again, I guess, is what's happening here. So
I didn't expect it to happen so fast.
Yeah.
Why not, though? I wonder. I've seen people say that. I wonder why not, though.
Because I felt like he would have been a little bit more hesitant to just jump right back into it with her.
I feel, okay, so I definitely think that's a strong woman's perspective. Because from a man's perspective, come on, I know what this is. And now, like, so... Especially with them at Kiss and Grind saying, look, we don't even got to go there.
Right.
So as soon as they hang out next time, one-on-one, after that conversation was had, I knew it was up.
Oh, really?
See, I get that perspective, but I also know men can be prideful, and considering how...
Right.
Like, I know Issa apologized, but part of me still felt like inside, like, Daniel might be just holding animosity towards her for how it went down, and for that reason, keep her at arm's length and just... Keep it super cash.
Because there's two sides of being prideful, though. So there's that. But there's the pride. Okay, so I'm going to just give you like...
That's why we're here. We need the male voice.
Yeah, actually,
we want the male voice.
We need the male perspective, please.
Let's go.
Like, at some point, you know, I believe there's guys, you know, you have good men, and Daniel is a good man to me, right? And then you have guys who are savage, who aren't really good guys to me or something like that.
Right.
Chad's close to that. He leans towards that way, right?
Yeah.
His thoughts. Even though he's living a better life now, he still lives vicariously through, like, Lawrence's wholeness or something.
Yeah, right.
So, but then there's good men who have a good balance, and I think these are the guys that really win the most when they have a good balance. They're a good man, and they have that, their savage moments, though, when to turn it on. And when I was going to tell you where the pride could come in on two different ways is, he can step on him to keep her at bay, or there's like, okay, now, you come back, I'm about to get this.
Really?
Like, I'm going to show you how you fucked up now. This first
one. That's true.
It's going to be something.
I can see
that. He can talk all that shit and everything when it's happening. So that's kind of where I could get, especially, man, look, he a producer. Look, man, they you know, they still got they egos to stroke, so.
Yeah, you're right. This the stroking of the ego, although I feel like in this episode we see later, maybe he's
still a good man with just savage moments is what I say. He's not savage. He's a good man. That's why I'm saying.
If he didn't care, he wouldn't have offered to come pick her up.
Nah, right. He didn't ask no questions.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm coming. Where you at? No questions asked.
Exactly. There's history there. Like, you know, we got to know they did grow up together. And they had their moments where they thought about, you know, you see him, man, back in season one. He's like, why didn't we ever go that route? Boom, boom, boom. Like, so there is history there. And that's always dangerous, as we'll see as we talk about other topics as well.
Right. Exactly. So while we have Issa and Daniels, you know, they're watching a show within the show, Due North, which I think is hilarious.
Yes.
shout out to Ben and Natasha. They wrote that, and they came up with that, and it started from my understanding, and my insecure fan could correct me if I'm wrong, but from my understanding, it was a joke in the writer's room.
Okay.
And then it became, because each season, you know, like last season, it was Conjugal Visits.
Right.
That was the reality show and stuff like that. And so then Natasha and Ben, man, they kill me. And I don't know, I hope there's some stuff I saw, I hope makes the season. And there was some real hilarious stuff. So, like, shout out to Natasha and Ben because they really killed that Due North stuff.
That's just random.
Gina.
Hilarious.
And yeah.
Okay, so while this is going on, we have Molly in Chicago, and she's talking to Lil Rel. Shout out to him. He did great.
Oh, man.
Shout out to Lil Rel. And Lil Rel. I don't appreciate y'all trying to, you know, take a stab at my Bears. They do suck.
They do suck. Personal.
But,
you
know.
I would, too. I feel you. Yeah, I would, too. I'm an Eagles fan. I'm an Eagles fan. I got Philly roots. My pops was born and raised there. I'm born there. So, I definitely. Right. It stings. Yeah.
Yeah, it hurt, but it's okay. Right. So Lil Rel's there. He's guest starring, and he tells her, you know, don't really sell yourself short. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of opportunity. You don't really have to put up with this.
Right.
That's your firm making less than your white coworkers. Mm-hmm. And Molly, it seems like, of course, like her character kind of is like, nah, I'm focused. Like, I'm going to figure this out here because I put in all of these years. Which, I mean, I guess you can't really fault her for that.
That could be a prideful thing, too.
Yeah. I think that's Molly just being the strong black woman that she is. Mm-hmm. She has her ways of coping with probably being the only black face in a lot of white spaces. That's why she has her Solange album on repeat. And she's really like, she's just like, I can't deal with y'all. Like, I'm trying to, you know, she's trying to do her thing and really kill it out in L.A. She doesn't want to just, I guess, go to somewhere that would be more comfortable for her, which is what Lorelle is suggesting.
Right.
Which is why I love Molly. Like, she just doesn't care. She's going to do her.
She's strong. I mean, and she that character, I mean, she the work she's put in, she deserves and earns that.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
I do get Lorelle talent because a part of me is just like, you know, it would be nice to be around your people more. I'll just be honest. I'm just more comfortable around my folk. Like,
I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't got to watch what you say. You got to be worried about being too this or too that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
And Chicago's not a bad town at all. That's a great city, too. So, you know, that could be a smoother transition, especially, like, visiting, like, you know, a flight from Chicago to New York or to L.A. is really not that bad. You know,
it's like a midway point.
It's an hour and 15.
But to put all that time in, it's like, you know, at some point you're just like, oh, nah, like, I'm going to get what I deserve.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
I
respect that because, honestly, if that was me in that situation, I would be trying to fight for what's mine, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you've already put in the work. You've already put in those years. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to make you respect me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just going to back down.
Right.
So I respect that about
Molly. Absolutely. Yeah.
I definitely agree. So we have Lawrence. He's at jury duty, right?
Right.
While, you know, the rest of the characters are doing their thing. Lawrence is at jury duty. Scrolling through Facebook board like a lot of us do. He sees Kelly on there. And he sees in the back of a picture in Kelly's profile, we have Issa and Daniel smiling, kikiing in the background.
He hit that zoom
and
real hard.
And Lawrence is like, what? What is this? And that leads him straight to Daniel's page, which, I mean, have y'all creeped on the new bae before? Do you have that experience?
I want to say I've never maybe... Like a new bae. I've never really done that. I might have seen, like, go to, like, her page to make sure there isn't somebody on hers. You know what I mean? I might have done that. And if I, like, maybe in the comments, like, if I seen something where it seemed, like, too friendly, whatever you click, but, like, nothing where, like, I scroll through, I just would see just to be like, no, okay, you know, whatever.
So just kind of
like,
notice.
Yeah, I kind of notice. I could never be, like, what Issa's done in this season and what Lawrence is doing. I can't invest, like, I'm very particular about where I put my energy into.
Right.
And I can't do that. I feel more people should be like that. And it's like, I can't give that because that's only going to put me on a spiral, like, and keep me somewhere where I don't want to be longer than I should. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like
on Facebook. Yes. That's exactly where he's at right now.
I think that's so relatable, though, because you said that Issa did the same thing with Tasha. Initially.
Yeah.
She was looking at her profile. Mm-hmm. She was looking at her pics.
And she went in hard.
She was me. Like, I was like, girl, you forgot to do this. And switch to your other profile so that you can see what other things are in private. I know. That's why this show gets me. It's so relatable. Because you're right. You shouldn't.
It is.
It's a thought process you shouldn't go it down, is. But you can't help it.
You know, I mean, look, it's human emotions, you know.
Yeah.
When your emotions are tied into someone so much. It's,
that you love.
Sometimes you just can't help where it takes you, you know.
And I'm glad that they went there to show that that's not a woman trait. Like, everybody at some point does that.
Thank
you. Because men.
Guys do that.
I'm sorry. Men, Lawrence Hive, whoever, will sit here.
This one.
Right. And say that they have never done it.
Lies.
You may not do it all the time in every relationship, but you've done it before.
Yeah, no, yeah, lies. You guys have done it even with a girl they have the eye on not messing with.
Right.
And, like, would see, like, oh, man, hold on, she messing with this dude. And then go see, you know, whatever. I've seen guys do that, you know what I mean? And like I say, even though I won't go, like, as deep into it, I have done it where I've seen something, seen friendly comments, click just to see a general thing, and then that's it. But I still went there, you know what I mean? So, you know.
So why do men be fronting them? Like, they don't creep on their girl's Instagram, their girl's boo-boo's Instagram. Why?
I think, you know, my personal belief, I think it's just to have the hold on that's a woman thing. And to keep it a woman thing. Because once you do, it's kind of like a female trait or in a way. Or it's kind of like soft or too sensitive. You care too much for some reason. And, like, that's just a old-ass, vintage, barbaric, caveman way of thinking.
Exactly.
Like, bro, we sensitive. Men are very sensitive. We emotional. You might as well embrace that.
It's also 2017. Like, it's their social media. Had he not been, like, scrolling, I mean, he was going to run into that information anyway. You stumble on stuff that you may not want to see, but
at
it's there.
Point, yeah.
Like, you're going to see it.
And but I do, you know, I don't fault him at all for, like, listen, if you're scrolling and then you see your ex with the person she cheated on you with.
I can see why you might be like,
yo, like, I know I have no right right now, but damn, like, you know what I mean? And so, you know, because then that puts other thoughts in your head. How long was that going for? Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly where his thought process went.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly where it went. Oh,
let's see with the people in the chat.
Yeah, let's bring up the chat.
See what they have to
say.
And you could see, I mean, just the fact he got so distracted. The judge was like, you're dismissed. You don't have to be on jury duty. And he was just scrolling,
in his
own world.
I don't know if he, like, even caught that, but I was really, when he got excuse, just because being in that situation before, I was like, man, that's good luck for him. Like, he got excused from jury duty, because that's a, y'all ever done jury duty?
I got an excuse.
I've never done it, but I have been summoned a few times. But the perfect thing was, like, since I played ball overseas, I was always out of town, and I played ball. And they're very forgiving to athletes when it comes to jury duty.
Of course.
I'm in China right now, man.
But were you even really in China?
Man, I was in LA.
Right?
Ball. I was in Studio City.
Out. Right. Melissa says, hey, guys. Hey, girl, what's up?
What up, Melissa?
Hey, Melissa.
Hey.
So we're going to get into when you come on to the scene, right, in this episode.
Right.
So Molly's, you know, getting stuff ready for this 35th vow renewal.
Right.
And she goes to her parents' house, and before she goes inside, Dro, your character, comes up. And y'all, of course, have to have a conversation about what went down at Kiss and Grind.
Right.
And she's like, oh, you know, you were drunk, and you hit her with the,
I wasn't that drunk.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay. I see you out here. So I want to ask you, playing this character, do you feel like he's really always had this genuine interest in Molly, or is this something that kind of just sprung up over time?
I think there's a mixture where it was always innocent flirtation, and Molly's character had brought up that they kissed in middle school. So that's, you know, puppy love type of thing there. And then what I would say, what having that little history and then being raised and stuff, and you see Molly speaking Spanish with the father. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Carlos Carrasco, who is also Panamano. Viva Panama.
Panama
in the house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Spanish up in here.
So, with her, you know, you see her speaking Spanish to him. You know, he's comfortable speaking Spanish because he knows since she was a little girl and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think that history there does amplify, and then they get older, and, you know, you spend so much time away sometimes from people.
Right.
And then you run into somebody, and then you see that, you know, they still or even got more fine. They're finer.
Right.
And then they're just like, damn, look at such and such, man. Her head used to be big as hell. You know what I mean? And you just have this whole, like, thing. And then, and also, I think, even though it wasn't necessarily, like a main thought at first. Everything sparked at the kissing ground because there was a mutual spark. You know, yes. People keep talking like as if Dro pursued this. But if everybody remembers, he was pointing out people. What about my man?
That's a good point.
He was pointing them out. And she was like, nah. The song came out. Oh, this used to be your shit, blah, blah, blah. What do you mean? What? Start dancing and everything.
Right.
That's a good point.
And she turned around and started backing up on my man. First of all,
slow motion.
Like, listen, I didn't know what to do
with it.
He's a hot-blooded man. You know what you want to do. And then they start dancing. And then what happens, you know, they start that slow motion catch. You know, that catches people.
Trouble.
And then they looked at each other. There was a spark, boom.
Yes.
And then it was a mutual thing, you know. And then so he felt the need to, like, you know, oh, like, you know, I'm allowing this moment to live because I'm in this situation.
Right.
You know, because, you know, he does, you know, they are friends first and foremost. So he cares about her. He's known her since he was a child. He cares about her. You can't escape that. He cares about her. So I definitely think it's, you know, a mixture of history and then that spark that happened, that kissing grind that's led to where we are now.
Right. And when you're in a situation like this, I think the relationship between Dro and Molly is a prime example of, like you said, when you grow up with someone, mm-hmm. you connect with them later in mm-hmm. life, and then it's kind of like that what if situation.
Right.
And that right. can be a very dangerous
which is what happened with Lisa and Daniel.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So that, you know, that's why I could, you know, even though I'm an ambassador to, you know, Lawrence Hive.
Oh, Jesus.
Surprised you didn't have a t-shirt on.
I have one. Did you hear? I got her
on
one.
On your wind down. I heard about that.
I got myself one, too. I wore it to set that because it was my last day on set. You know what I mean?
Jesus.
So I was like, I got to wear it. And it's, I saw this meme, and it starts with J. Ellis, you know, Lawrence. And then, as you know, does four boxes, right? And it keeps blending until he's 21 Savage.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
That's my favorite. I should have worn that joint. But that's my favorite. But like I was going to say, if you could blend Daniel and Lawrence, that'd be the person I really connect. Because I connect with both of them mm-hmm. really well. What happened with Issa and Daniel and stuff like that, I could see, you know, him not having any, he has no obligation towards Lawrence in the first season.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, look, I know you. I don't know your man, don't know what you look like, nothing.
That's real.
And you here, and you're catching what I'm throwing. Mm-hmm. And I am too. So, you know, I get, you know, you try to respect it as much as possible, but if... Oh, girl's not respecting it as much.
Why do I need to do it?
I'm not about to be the good man for you, like, or for him, I mean, you know what I mean? So that's why I can understand that process, what I'm saying. So
I think one of the questions that I know we played with last episode, and I'm sure some of the viewers, is Dro and his wife, is it really an open marriage, mm-hmm. or are you just saying that?
Right. That was the question. And someone in the chat says, where is wifey? She went MIA. So what's the deal?
She's at a bachelor party in Cabo. So mm-hmm. she's doing her thing. Because think about it. Like, people are like, oh, she's conveniently, as if, like, first of all, if Dro, he went up the night before the wedding, you know, renewals, right? Mm-hmm. So he's with his parents, you know what I mean? And then he stays a night there, and then he, you know, spends a whole... She knows, like, she's going to know where he's at. He, like, what's he going to lie about where he's at? On top of my parents not going to lie for me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
True.
Like, especially to my wife, you know what I mean? They're not going to lie to me. She knows where I'm at. Mm-hmm. You know, she knows Molly good enough to where... If she was available, she would have been at her parents', you know, renewals. You know what I mean?
Right.
But she wasn't. She's in Cabo. Who knows what she's doing? You know what I mean? Doesn't mind Dro none because
he looks unbothered completely.
He's like, look, she's that. You know, she lives her own life. She's a grown woman. You know, this is how the agreement that he's saying that they have. You know what I mean? So
okay.
And for the viewers, like, if you're looking for me to confirm if it's true or not, you're not gonna get that here. I need to keep you guys around watching. You know what I mean? So
look, we have Queen K in the chat. She said at a bachelor party she gave him the side eye.
She also said no.
So where
not
do y'all,
the Lawrence
where
Hive.
Do y'all think she is? That's my question. Where
he
do you
probably
think
was
wife
like
is? At home?
No.
She needs to be where her husband. That's where she needs to be. Because clearly
I feel like as viewers, like we haven't met her yet to the point where we can connect with her and maybe feel bad for her in this equation.
Right.
We're all just looking at Dro and like what he's doing and the moves that he's making. But like, you're right, she's out of the picture. She could be doing her own thing. And I feel like maybe if as viewers we saw you guys in action.
Right.
Being comfortable in that open relationship and getting that confirmation,
right.
I think a lot more people would be open to a situation with Molly.
Right.
Well, it's just so unknown right now.
Right. Because well,
it's just your word.
I also tell this to people. I'm like, well, like, as far as like my friends and stuff like that, because I don't tell them anything. They have these debates with me. I'm like, look, so you've seen me 2 weeks in a row without my wife. The thing is, look, I'm married to a black woman. You know what I mean? If she wanted to be there with me, my wife would be there with me. Black women don't play that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not about to be like, no, keep your ass at home. She's about to be like, excuse me? You see, she was in a sorority, too. Like, she's an educated woman.
True.
Just if you look at the breadcrumbs, you know, she would be there with me. You know what I mean? Reading these scripts, that's how I'm thinking. I'm
that
like, okay,
sense.
You know, because I have to, you know, connect with my character as much as possible. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
In the chat, we have someone saying, starting to love Dro, but I have a feeling that I might regret it. I think he might hurt Molly later on, which I 100% agree with.
You know, okay. No, these are all fair assessments. They're really all fair assessments. Everything is nothing really wrong as of now because everything is just a theory. So you got to be
watching. As of now.
As of now.
You kind of let something slip earlier about it being your last day on set at one point. So
I didn't tell you what episode it was. And it was like my last. I just told it was my last day for this, you know.
And they don't film in order.
You know.
Like, are you going to be episodes. Around?
Look,
we'll
I got your back. They don't film all the episodes in sequence. So.
You're jumping around.
Right.
Okay,
that insider
true.
Knowledge. Okay,
exactly.
So we're going to get back to this episode, y'all.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Dro's like, what's going on? She's like, yeah, I thought about it, but you're married. You know,
right.
I'm going to let you do your married thing. He's
right.
like, cool. We're
He's
gonna...
very respectful.
Very respectful.
I like that about Dro.
Right.
That you're respectful. You're not trying to push it on her.
Right.
It's up to her whether
right.
she wants to do it or not.
Absolutely.
Right. So they say, you know, we're good. We're going to remain friends. And then we go and we actually meet Molly's parents and her brothers, which I think gives a great idea of why she's craving this, like, quintessential amazing black love. That
see their great family that they have.
Yeah.
It's loving family. And shout out to the brothers, because those are my boys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Malcolm Kelly, who was in Detroit. Y'all need to go see that.
Oh, I saw Detroit.
You did?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was a brother in the court going off.
Yeah.
He played the little brother. And then my man, Richie Loco, who was one of my best friends and writing partners, he got on the show, and we got to work together that same day. So, like, shout out to them, because those are my boys.
Yeah,
right
that's
there.
Great.
It's great. It's great.
I'm loving all the black community on the show.
Salt tight, tight as a family is really good. It's really good.
Yeah, that's what Dominique said. You said it's like a family.
Yeah,
she was on
definitely.
The show not
yeah,
too long
exactly.
ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we cut to Issa, right? And she's like, I'm getting my hotation on, team ho out here, which just does not, we say this every week, does not fit her character.
I cringe every time she does that.
That's why I love it so much, because with her, it's like, you know, you would think a woman like that. Well, first of all, shout out for, like, first of all, this show and the writing, because this type of character usually, let's be honest, a white person would play.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the
yes.
quirkiness, the awkwardness, you know, we're always supposed to, there's like this aphrodisiac with black people. We're always strong.
Yeah.
And cool.
You know, cool and shit like
right.
that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So for her, like, to be a real human that we all are connecting with, like, you know, I love that, because you wouldn't expect that from her. And the way she's playing it is hilarious.
Yes.
Sorry, she kills it every time.
So awkward. So she's on this date with Nico, who is her Tinder, one of her Tinder boos in the hotation, right?
See, bitch.
and I'm like, Lord. And then it's this whole, like, Latino.
No, oh, she said,
like,
I'm
like,
I was
really
like, Issa, get out. Like,
I was like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, my gosh. So
but, like, these conversations, it's just so real, right?
Right.
Like,
she has the best lines. Like, how does she deliver
she
that
should.
With a straight face? Because I would have been dying.
Did
that take multiple
she's
takes?
So good.
You know?
For when they're doing, I mean, you know, they, of course you're going to do multiple takes. Well, first of all, for coverage, you got to get all these angles. But,
right.
You know, when you get it, you get it. But you just, because of those type of those lines where you say, like, you know, when she's talking about the, you know, extra on the whore or whatever, stuff like that. They throw those, they give you ad-libs and you try this, you try that. Just something funny. And, like,
right.
you know, some of the best people that are doing that are like Natasha's, she's amazing at that. Neil Brown, who plays Chad, is amazing at that. And then when Lil Rel said, like, you know, I'm slim thick, you know,
I got a pastor body.
He's hilarious.
Oh, that was an ad lib.
He's like, I got
that
a pastor body. That's, you know,
I know.
They let
like
you
go. That.
They let you do your thing. So yeah, shout out to them. I love them.
That's great. How y'all capture like how authentic it is.
Exactly. You get people who know how to do that and hone that in. You know, they're not too much, so it's good.
Yeah. So Issa's on his date. She's doing her awkward raps. And it looks like they're kind of having a little bit of a connection. They stay there until midnight, which is pretty damn late for a first date.
Right.
And Issa on the hotation is like, so after this, what's going on? And he kind of hits her with the, oh, I have an early flight. Which,
my man.
Which I thought was like,
she was trying to fuck.
But you know, like, honestly, let's not forget, she did text Daniel when she first got there.
Because she wasn't sure. You saw the uneasiness.
She wasn't sure.
That's like security blanket, too. Of course. I was like, man, you got to watch out there.
Really back up.
Don't be that security blanket.
Don't
man.
Be that.
Yeah.
I want to be the comforter. Not
Hashtag comforter. Make that go viral, y'all.
Right.
Okay, so. She's like, cool, we'll meet up again. And that seems to be going well, so maybe that might go somewhere.
Probably not.
I don't really see it going anywhere, but...
I think he's going to shut it down.
I honestly think the fact that she's dating a Latino guy now is... I predict it's going to be some sort of foreshadowing. Since she's having trouble at work with Black and Latino kids, maybe he's going to teach her something about being with someone else of a different race, and maybe she'll understand something else.
Yeah,
that's the only reason I can think of.
That's a great assessment. No, I like that. That's great. And, you know, and I'm first of all, you know, me being mixed with, you know, Latino, is I was happy to see... I was like, man, we sprinkling Latino.
It's everywhere. I love that.
How California is. There's a lot of Latinos out here.
Well, yeah, especially where I grew up. Like, half of my friends are Puerto Rican, Dominican. Yeah. So we have everything.
Right.
We all brown. So
yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So, and then, you know, being a lot of people don't know, like, my mother was born in Panama. So, but, you know, it's Afro-Latinos. Like, Panama is based, there's so many Black people there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, we all are really light. If we go down there, they look at us like real, like light skin. Everybody, all of us, like y'all, real light. You know what I mean? It's just like so. But for them to kind of touch on all that is great, and have someone like the character Frida Lisa Joyce voice and stuff like that. I like the balancing of showing perspectives and stuff, and she's great. So shout out to her too.
Yes,
and I did have a question about that scene for the panel, because she was kind of like implying that Black people can be racist, and he's like, Black people can be racist.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like in that setting he is being racist towards Latinos? Is that even
the principal
possible?
Or Issa?
The principal.
Oh yeah. Okay. So, well, in one of the rare occasions he actually is being racist. In one of the rare occasions. Now this is gonna sound bad. Don't care.
Like you.
As Black people, you're a little, like, forgiven just because of the bullshit we've gone through for so long. Mm-hmm. So you're a little forgiven. But then it doesn't feel good that it's happened to another group of minorities. Mm-hmm. If this was white kids, it'd be different. You know what I mean? Because you'd be like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
They had to come
down. Yeah, right? But then it's other Latinos, so you're just like, oh, man. So yeah. I fully feel Frida, the character Frida, because you know, it's bothering her. Now she gets a little bit more troubled. It might be a little guilty conscience, I don't know, like from just her ancestors seeping in her. But like, it's just like, you know, I do agree with her though, and I'm a little surprised that Issa's character is not a little bit more sympathetic, but I see her being a little bit bothered by now that she sees a frustration through Frida's character. Mm-hmm. So that's what's good.
Yeah, I kind of agree that I'm surprised she's not more like, let's try to get them involved.
Right.
Let's try to find a way to kind of incorporate the Latino students more.
Right.
Racist? I don't know. That's tricky.
He's in a position of power to manipulate some stuff.
I mean, you can look at it that way, maybe on a small scale. That could be like some sort of racism.
It's very small scale.
But I look at it more as like prejudice, because the way I define racism, like, that's systematic oppression.
Absolutely.
That's something that's infiltrated power structures.
Absolutely.
That's something that stops Black men from walking down the street without being questioned.
Absolutely.
That's something that stops people from getting a job. It's something to me that's a bigger ideology.
That can
dramatically affect your life. Whereas in this situation, I think it's more of like a prejudice. Like you're stopping another minority from getting that opportunity, but it's not from a place of power.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're all black. They're all minorities. There's something within mm-hmm. them. I think Frida, outside looking in, is having trouble understanding that yeah, because she'll never know.
Right. No, she won't.
So she can't wrap her head around it.
And even though I fully agree with you, but to play the other side of it, I think it's like, because you said some stuff, but at the end of the day, I saw a little bit, or feeling a little bit, that it is on a... maybe just on a very small scale, though.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. he is, at some point, you got to think he is kind of bugging some random Latinos for speaking Spanish. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, no, he's
bus,
definitely.
You know what I mean? Or he could shut him out of stuff if he wants to. Right. But again, it's very small scale. Now, yeah. But he is very prejudiced. Very, very prejudiced.
Yes. Absolutely.
Even though that actor is hilarious.
I just like shake my head when he starts going off.
Man. I know. It's so
you
bad.
Never know what he's
so
gonna
bad.
Say.
I hate
it's
when I'm funny. Laughing at it too. I'm like,
right?
It's low key comedic relief. Like you can't have a character like that so without
it. Because
he's just so absurd. You're like, why? Like why?
And that can easily be a very heavy subject.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
right.
We kind of need that balance so it doesn't get too heavy.
Yeah. I wonder where they'll go with that because everything low-key in this show has a teaching moment. So yeah. I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure they're going to revisit that conversation again.
Yeah. I think where they're going with that is actually making black people think, like, can we actually be racist?
Yeah.
Like,
other
certain things that you say really. About different people, like, where is that coming from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah. No, at the end of the day, like you said, no, we'd have like maybe in 450 years we might be able to be if we for some reason took over the world. But
I mean, we're too like, busy right now still trying to be equal.
Right.
So, yeah.
And then we also have, you know, different opinions. Some people say he's ignorant. Some people say, yeah, kind of, but he I understand. Ignorant. So it looks like people are kind of torn on that.
Yeah.
But we're going to get back into Lawrence, right? Mm-hmm. So he's talking to Derek. After doing his Facebook stalking the day before, and he's like, man, you know, was she doing this the whole relationship? Was this just a one-time thing? Kind of letting himself spiral down this hole from doing this stalking, right? And I love this part. He calls him out, and he's like, you know, Issa cheated, but you kind of have a little bit of fault in that for sitting on the couch for 2 years, which I think is valid.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I know Lawrence.
No, what does the Lawrence have to say about this?
It's a very light agreement. Now, hold on. I feel like here's the thing. I fully understood what Wade. I'm sorry. Well, shout out to Wade who plays the character Derek. Because I'm that friend who's going to tell my boys. Like, you know, I've had cousins or friends. You know, where they did so much garbage to that girl, and then by the time you know that girl. Flapped her wings and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, bro, well, what were you expecting?
Exactly.
I'm not about to tell you, like, oh, man, that's fucked up. Nah, fuck her. I'm not about to tell you that, bro, because if I was a girl, bro, I probably would have murdered you by now. Like, you know what I mean? So, but that's in that case. In this case, it's different because he didn't necessarily do some wrong. And I always wonder, because with people, I'm like, are they really paying attention? Because he had a lot of potential, right?
Yeah.
It started with a lot of potential. They were together, a lot of potential. And he was doing things. He's an educated black man, which is also hard to do, you know, to get an education as a brother.
Right.
And he was starting his own thing, then stuff went sour, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, maybe he was in a depressed state. She wasn't necessarily helping that, though, because she was getting dragged down with him. But the thing was, by the time she cheated, though, he was on the up again. That's where my problem lies.
But that's 2 years later.
2 years.
I mean, but, like, here's my thing, though.
Sharon, it's 2 years. Come on.
Yeah, no, but, like, understand. Because, listen, at the end of the day, we are talking about a brother here, right? This in a technology world, have you ever been in Silicon Valley? Tell me how many black people you see when you go there. This ain't the easiest
thing. A handful,
thing.
Yeah, or less.
Maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a brother I know. He was from the IE, like me. He's doing a startup, you know, up there. And we were just talking about it. I mean, there's not too many. So him even trying, because he was going out and trying, you know what I mean? On top of trying to go out and get that as a depressed man, you know what I mean? I think, if anything, the support you're going to get is going to be at home. Not saying that she didn't at the beginning. But I would have understood in the middle of that 2 years or something happened, I guess I could see her point. But when you're doing it, when he was back on the rise and y'all talking about you're in this and this, this and that, and now he's on the rise, he has good prospects, he gets a job, boom, boom, and everything like that. Mind you, he got that spark from Tasha.
He did.
He got that spark from her because she was giving him words of encouragement. Why wasn't he getting this out home? He was getting this sappy girl who wasn't happy with her own career.
I totally understand what you're saying, but I think a part of that is in the midst of him being, you know, on the rise, he still could have put a little bit more effort into his situation.
Right.
If you're going to be at home, keep the house clean or do this, do that, make dinner.
Remember her birthday.
Remember her birthday. Small stuff like that will make a woman be like, okay, at least he's doing something. I can put up with this. But he wasn't doing nothing.
Absolutely. Agree.
I think so, too. And I think that we didn't see those 2 years. We don't know how what other things might have happened, other situations that may have come up, and how their communication and love and support for each other deteriorated to the point where now that he is on the up and up, she's already so checked out from the relationship.
It was mainly about him being down in the dumps, though. That's in those 2 years. That's why it did deteriorate, because of him being, you know, kind of being down in the dumps and down on himself.
And this doesn't excuse her. This doesn't mean that you should cheat. I'm not saying why not break up. But
yeah, she could have just broke up with him.
Yeah, she should have just broke up. And he could have at least put in a little more effort that maybe would have bought him a little bit more time.
But the thing was, they didn't break up. She tried to break up earlier in the episode, remember?
She did.
But he was swinging things around, and that made her happy. You know what I'm saying?
And so she decided to
stay. They were staying. The relationship was getting good. I was, like, happy to see it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And she still did it, which it does matter that she cheated on him in a studio with a producer.
Does that make it worse?
Yes.
Like, what?
Oh, my God. Because I know at some point.
Now she's a thot.
She, not just a thot, but at some point throughout these years, Lord. She was a rap lyric somewhere.
I'm just saying
in the past, just think, there's some songs where a rapper has talked about getting it in the studio with one of these hoes.
Right. Yeah.
Now
yeah,
she is
true.
That. My girl is that. I probably rap this bar at some point. Now you embarrassing me like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, man, Lawrence had titties in his face with the bank teller, you know what I mean? But he still was like, I got a girl.
Man, we got the Lawrence Hive going.
Let me propose this to you. Flip the situation. How mad would you be at Lawrence if he did this?
I'm very upset.
More upset than you are with Issa. Way more. I'm going to tell y'all. I'm going to answer for y'all.
She's not in the clear.
I know you guys know that. But you're very forgiving. And if it was Lawrence, if this insecure was flipped around and Lawrence was the main guy and it was his face on the billboards and episode 5 came around and he cheated on Issa when she was down in the dumps and then she was turning things around, she's on the up, and then Lawrence cheated on her. He's a dog. He's this and that. Or what's the equivalent, I guess, with a stripper, whatever like that, whatever y'all view it, or some Instagram model. Instagram model.
Basically Tasha.
She's a bank. She had those.
Oh, Lord
Jesus. Tasha Bay, respect Bank Bay, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Shout out to Dominique Perry.
We love Dominique.
She was great.
She's a real one.
And she was, like, her character was very encouraging. So that's what I'm saying. If it was flipped around, I'm telling you, Twitter would have dragged Lawrence into the ground. Way harsher than what Issa has received, I'm saying.
Yes.
Because it's annoying to be men to cheat. That's why I love this show, for it to be flipped around. Yes. Because women do cheat, too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it gets you talking. I
love this show.
This conversation we're having now. It's passionate.
It is. Yes.
No, it is.
Okay.
Uh-oh. We got and it said, Drogue can get it.
Hello? We're about to get into your thirst,
Thank you. Come up in a minute. Drohive, I appreciate it.
Drohive. Let's wrap up this episode, and then we're going to talk about how things have changed for you.
Okay.
So, we got Molly. She's at the renewal. She brings Lionel, Sterling Kane Brown, who I love.
Yeah, Sterling, he's amazing.
Yeah, introduces him to Dro. Dro's like, what up? You can kind of feel that, like, awkward, sizing each other up kind of energy going on.
Mainly from Lionel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dro was like,
this is my woman. He's like, hello, sir. But I was shocked to see him there.
No, he tried it with the hola, hello. He was so awkward.
I was so mad at that. I was like I got too method with that when I was in that. I was like, don't do that.
You can see it on your face. Okay, so then her brother's like, hey, who is this dude? What's going on?
Right.
Molly's like, you know, he's great on paper. He's this, he's that. I want what mom and dad have. And he's like, just because something's great on paper doesn't mean that's what's for you, which we've kind of heard before.
They had no chemistry. She didn't even know what he did when she was trying to introduce him.
Oh, that's the best thing.
So embarrassing.
He tried to play it off.
Right?
Yeah, he tried.
You can tell he was like, oh, my ego.
Like, oh, man. So
so we have Molly's aunts roll through, mm-hmm. and they're like, I'm just so surprised that they made it 35 years. That's crazy. I never would have thought. And Molly's like, what are you talking about? And the aunts are like, don't worry about it.
Everybody got that big mouth.
Right. Like, come on, y'all.
I feel like we
just
all
keep
have
it hush.
The same families and were raised the same. It's so funny. It's like,
Keep it low. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Molly goes to her brother, and she finds out mm-hmm. that her dad was actually cheated on her mother.
And yes. a perfect relationship right. was tarnished in front of her face. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So she's freaking out. She's cussing. She's cursing. Why would you stay? Why would you cheat? And mm-hmm. it kind of crushes her dream, right? Mm-hmm. So in her moment of need, she comes outside, and there's, like, this weird thing between your character and Lionel. Like, who's gonna make that move?
And Dro was giving him all the time to do it.
You were very respectful.
Gave him a chance, and he just sat there and didn't do
anything. And just seeing him stuck in the mud, I'm like, I got it. Because at the end of the day, look, my house across you, we've been raised together. So I'm at least going to go after my friend.
Yeah. Of course. Right, and Dro's character, aside from the physical attraction, like, right. you care about her. You guys
Absolutely.
Grew up together. You
yeah.
never want to see Molly hurt. And you made sure she knew that the last time you guys had that conversation.
Yeah. Exactly.
No matter what, me and you are good.
Always be good. Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
That's important.
And Lionel kind of gives you, like, the go-ahead a little. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It was weird. He's like,
you know,
he's trying to make
I don't do that.
Right.
He's making some excuse. If you hear it, he's kind of like, because Auntie Kiki won't. If you listen, go back and listen, you'll try to make up an excuse. It's crazy.
We don't accept that. Sorry,
Lionel. Like, bro.
Sound like Cam Brown. Okay, so. So then we have Dro. He's driving Molly. Molly's freaking out. Like, I can't believe this. Like, my world is shattered. And so Dro does a respectful thing. Walks her to her door. They agree to be friends. Thank you so much. You were there for me. Blah, blah, blah. They part ways, right? And right before Dro goes home and Molly goes upstairs, she turns around. And she gives him that look. And next scene, we have you smashing Molly.
Ooh.
Coming out the FG,
all
out, putting in work.
Forget LaMarcus.
So,
it's Dro now.
It's Dro. So, how was that for you doing that scene? Did it feel awkward?
Oh, man.
Was that your show first? Awkward.
Right. Was that your first semi-nude?
I was fully nude, by the way. Well, besides covering up just the main important
right.
part.
Right.
But yeah, so, yeah, first being nude and having, like, sex on screen and stuff like that. I did, like, a web series where we kissed on the couch and she was on top of me. I had my shirt off, but that's it. She was, like, getting up to leave and stuff and we were waking up, whatever, alluding to the night before. But, I never did anything like this before in my life.
When you read that in the script, what was your initial reaction?
Good thing was I had, like, a month to let that resonate, right?
Okay.
And, it's weird. It was like a 50-50. Like, a part of me was like, ooh, okay, so, like, my cheeks going to be on HBO and millions of people going to see this. My mama watch anything I do.
Of course.
What did mama say?
You know what? My mom tried to call me, and I didn't answer because I was getting blown up, and it was, like, kind of loud, whatever, like that.
Right.
And I have to, like, you know, I have to live tweet with the cast and stuff. Yeah. And then she texted me, and she sent me a bunch of ha, 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 ha. And then she was like, oh, my God, your little booty on screen.
She was like, I know that ass.
Right.
She was like, mijo, like, look at you. I was just like, and my dad's like, he's like one of the boys. That's my man. You know what I mean? So, like, it's like locker room banter. Like,
right.
You know, how's the day going for you? Like, you know, my daddy from Philly. You know what I mean? He's like, he's funny. So yeah, he's hilarious and stuff. Talking about his friends and him up. He get excited when his friends are like, yo, you know, such and such. You remember him? When you were like, so. That was, it was interesting, and I was really anxious for the episode, to the point where, like, so I ended up watching it by myself.
Mm.
I had to watch it the first go-around by myself. Mm-hmm. I was at a good friend of mine's house, and he had left, and he has a really nice house, so I was tucked away in one of the rooms. Just watched it, just let it happen. I was like, okay.
All right, so now, it's out there.
And right. then... my phone was just lighting up. Like, y'all was getting Texas calls, whatever like that. And then my social media was blowing up. And it was just, I was just like, man. Like, it was overwhelming to the point where I kind of was just, like, chilling. I was just like, yeah, wow.
It's too much.
So it's out there, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, because in this chat, you just missed it, but The Thirst was on 10. Nice yes. butt cheeks. Team Dro, Dro High. That life right. get ass. Talk about your stroke game. I mean, man. So how are you dealing with all this newfound fame and thirst? And-
It's interesting on the social media aspect, right? Mm-hmm. I think, because, like, and as far as, like, in real life scenarios and situations, mind you, I was an athlete for a long time, right. You know, mm-hmm. and I played overseas, so.
You did basketball and
the thirst was probably there from before.
I did box for a little bit, but okay. It mainly was basketball, you know, so mm-hmm. it was, like, a different thing. Mind you, I was, like, in other countries and I was in Asia, you know, but, like, that was crazy, but to be in America and get, like, this attention in America, where you're from, mm-hmm. and where we're the, you know, we're the capital for entertainment, you know what I mean? We're the main, right. you know, right. so everybody looks up to our stuff. And to see it from my own folks, it was, I love the appreciation for the work and the show, first and foremost, because I was a fan before I joined the cast. Mm-hmm. As far as the individual love, it's fun, but where I get the most kicks out is when people making fun of me.
Okay.
Because I grew up, you know, me and my cousins and my friends, we roast each other. You right, know what I mean? Right. So I got called Chico Stick DeBarge.
Oh, no!
Somebody was like, look, man, he's like, how Molly gonna be mad that her dad cheated like 35 years ago, and then she gonna let Al be uncertain?
Oh, no. Not Al be uncertain.
I started dying. God. Like,
damn.
And I felt like a high school kid, because now I'm getting all the light skin jokes and stuff like
right.
that.
Of course.
Because I was like, I've never been, that was one of my pet peeves growing up, like the colorism in our culture. Mm-hmm. It's a pet peeve of yeah. mine. But yeah. when it's done cleverly, I appreciate it. Right. It's like funny as hell, because like black people are just the funniest people on earth, and, yeah. I, and I love black Twitter. So yeah, it's been different, but and interesting. So I'm just now I'm kind of maneuvering in certain ways, because now I'm getting, you know, recognized. Like every day I've been getting recognized since basically episode, you know, since like last week's episode, and even episode 3 I was getting like, but every day now. And so, you know, I can't just be out there wondering like,
yeah,
you know,
I saw on your Instagram that Timberland, you ran into him and he recognized
God.
You.
Okay, y'all gotta understand what Timberland did for me. And my big brother, right, he my big brother was in music for a little bit, and that's my big brother Marcus Jackson. I still look up to my big brother when I was younger, and you know, he like music, my music taste from him, hooping, like basketball, and we have all these hoop and basketball talks together. And he you know, he went to Clark Atlanta, so he has a very you know, he has a variety of tastes in him. So Timberland though, and he would point this out, he's like, man, Timberland's changed the sound of music a couple times. Because think yes, about when Pony yes. came out, nothing was sounding like that. Mm-hmm, right. yeah. And then we did his work with, like, Nelly Furtado. Mm-hmm. He was doing, like, yes. the hip-hop pop stuff. Yes. Like, that, right. like, if you pay attention, like, he's the man. And yes, so...
been a fan for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love him. Loves like, him. If I was ever, like, when I was younger, wanted to do music, I wanted to work with him or something like that.
Yeah.
So I was at the Grove at the Nike store. Okay. And the first thing I recognized was like, you know, I was shopping for like soccer pants or little soccer pants, and I saw a beautiful woman, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I know she's taken, I don't know where, I kind of seen her face before or something before, but I see her and I was like, that's a beautiful woman. And then I tried to go try on these soccer pants, and it was locked, nobody was around to let me in, so I come back out, and then I kind of seen the back of his head and her saying something. Then he turns around and I see his face. And for the first second, I was like, I know this face. Hold on. This, why is the name not coming to me? And as he started walking up, I was like, wow. I was like, that's crazy. And he was like, yo, you in Insecure, right? And I was like, and he shakes my hand. And I'm like, Timberland's, first of all, let me recognize you because I'm not used right? to this. I'm like, yeah. And he was just like talking about how he, you know, relates, you know, to certain stuff and how mm-hmm. real the show is. And we're just having this conversation, people coming up. I was like, wow, that was, it was that's a amazing. Surreal experience. So, yeah.
That's the sign. You made it.
It's trying, only way is up from here. You know, I love that the exactly. culture and the community and the industry is fans of the show. So I really love it.
And they're embracing you and your character.
Yes.
That's great. Exactly. And we have people talking. So, yeah.
Right. We're so excited. Thank you so much for yes. coming in. Unfortunately, we have to wrap it up. But this has been so great.
It's been fun. It's been fun.
Absolutely. I wish we could talk more about Lawrence and Issa and Molly and Dro. Mm. What's up, guys? This is Marielle Turner. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Marielle underscore Turner.
Right.
Sharonis, you want
to? At Ron J, Twitter and Instagram. Show love.
And I'm Ashley Allen. You can find me on all social media at Ashley Reed Allen.
And I'm Christine Alexis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Christine Bean. Hit me up.
Okay. Right. See you later, guys. Peace.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Christie, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions or comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Especially with Black women watching her, I'm like, girl, I'm like, you're not.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.